Are you ready to sell more books? I'm Brian Cohen.
And I'm Claire Taylor. If you're ready to get your books into the hands of the right readers
and make some more money,
you've come to the right podcast.
And now it's time to talk tips, tricks, and news to help you sell more of your books. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Sell More Book Show, episode 461. I'm Brian Cohen from Best Page Forward, joined by Claire Taylor from FFS Media. Claire, we're deep into season two now of I think I know who the killer is in Sell More Book Show. We're deep into season two, and we've been doing this shorter show. I've really enjoyed it a lot. What are you up to right now, Claire? It seems like to me, from your social media posts, that the Alice Luck Kickstarter has launched.
Yes, it has. it is well underway. If you're listening to this within, you know, a week or so of it releasing, you will still have time to get in on that Kickstarter if you want. It's certainly not for everyone. But it has been really fun, and some of the delightful things that I wasn't expecting were how many people would find it through Kickstarter who had never heard of my work and then are like, why haven't I heard of you before? And it's like, because I didn't market for years because I was working on other things. But just finding new fans and finding reconnecting with older fans, like fans that have been around for a long time who've been reading my stuff since 2016, being able to get back in touch with them and have something to talk about and be like, oh yeah, how are you doing? So for me, maybe that's my high relator strength, but I love those one-on-one connections that I'm getting out of it, which you can spend more time on when they're, paying you a little higher ticket item. You can spend time on it no matter what, but you can justify it. You can financially justify it a little bit more when it's not like they spent, 99 cents, made you 35 cents, and now they want to tell you their life story.
Right. And we were talking about this off the call. Like, I know that, you had a really successful nonfiction Kickstarter, and I'm sure it can feel like a drop to a fiction Kickstarter. And I've even seen people talking about it. I saw Russell Nolte saying it's tough out there on Kickstarter right now. So who knows what's going on with that. But I am with Kickstarter, it really feels like you build a brand for a particular thing, and then the next time it can be bigger, and the next time it can be bigger. So I wonder if Alice Luck, let's say you do have a pretty decent, but maybe not quite to your standards of Kickstarter. If you did a future Alice Luck Kickstarter or a spinoff in that same universe, if it would do even better because of those connections you made with new people on Kickstarter, and because, hey, the humor people hadn't heard from you in a while, you now getting this chance to connect with them multiple times in a year. It just seems like there's a lot of positives, but it's kind of like, how long of a runway are you giving yourself? I think those are the things to kind of keep in mind with Kickstarter.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. The last Kickstarter was, I was throwing everything at it, and it took me months and months and months to fulfill.
Yeah.
And a lot of time to fulfill. And this one, I made it where I'm like, I want to have everything done ahead of time, and all I have to do is just order and ship. Like, I don't want to have to keep making stuff. I wanted it to be simpler. So of course my offerings are going to be simpler. They're going to be lower ticket prices, that sort of thing. So it all makes sense, right? It's important to remember that everything that should be is, or else it shouldn't be.
Right. Yeah. I think that, there are good lessons you will learn from this one, and definitely excited for you to share them in a coming episode.
Of course. So. What's new with you, Brian?
Oh, I am working hard. We've got a webinar coming up on in a week or so about writing what you love to market. So we'll try to have the link to that in the show notes. And then I'm trying to do more where I'm just sharing free content, free stuff, doing fewer affiliate offers this year because I just don't want to recommend you do 20 different things. I want to recommend going deeper on just one or two things. And so I'm excited about that. And definitely, if you're not subscribed to my email list, you might be missing some of that. So definitely, you can sign up on the Somewhere Book Show page, somewherebookshow.com. You could sign up on authorsadvertise.com. Be a part of the action because it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Cool. So previous week's question, it's not last week's question, it's actually 2 weeks ago. Will you be trying to build your Amazon followers in the coming weeks? Z. Jeffrey said, if I have a newsletter I'm sending out that lacks a call to action, I may, but I'm not going to focus or put lots of time into it. I think that's probably about what our opinion was on the matter. I think that between BookBub followers, Amazon followers, Facebook followers, whatever, you could drive yourself crazy, but you don't need all of the things.
Yeah, I think this sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah. So let's go to the top story of the week, calling an audible. ACX has announced reduced prices for audiobooks, reports KDPCollege.com. I've never heard of KDP College. Interesting. ACX, a service used predominantly by indie authors and small presses to distribute and sell audiobooks on Audible, recently emailed creators about price changes. Says the email, quote, starting today, Audible is reducing prices on titles, including ACX titles across the site. While we cannot make projections on a title-by-title basis, we anticipate that these price reductions will lead to increased sales for titles overall. In tandem, as the vast majority of Audible content is purchased with a credit, you should expect your average royalty per unit for credit sales to remain steady, end quote. As Jane Friedman points out in her Hot Sheet newsletter, authors who distribute and sell through ACX do not control pricing of their audiobooks. In fact, she says, quote, some authors have accused ACX of stealing their earnings through incorrectly calculated royalties, end quote. That and a lenient returns policy has led to legal action against ACX, Allies news editor Dan Holloway says. Quote, ACX has done nothing to increase their popularity with indies by announcing a cut to the prices of all books on Audible. This will mean a lower royalty for everyone. So the pundits say it will be a lower royalty. ACX says, well, with the price going down, you'll sell more copies and you'll make the same amount on credit uses. Claire, we only name checked this briefly a couple weeks ago. Now that we're diving into it, do you think authors are likely to earn less money due to this pricing change?
I think the claim that we're lowering prices so you can make more money is just 100% BS. I mean, that's not why they're doing it. They're doing it for some other reason. It's not to make authors more money. But I also just think that this is what is going to happen everywhere. This is what happens when someone has essentially a lock on the market. Not a monopoly. There are other options, but Audible has had a huge amount of market share for a long time.
Right.
And we're going to see it with Audible. We're going to see it with KDP publishing. We're going to see it in a lot of ways. So it's not for author benefit. I mean, if that occasionally overlaps with whatever ACX is getting out of this, then so be it. But I just feel like that's just they're just serving BS on that. So yeah.
I don't know if they specifically said we're doing this because, so I don't know if they were like totally BSing.
Well, the claim which they do make in it that says we expect this will make authors more money because they will make, or that we expect this will drive sales and authors will have more sales. Well, sure. Okay. Maybe you make audiobooks cheaper, more people buy them, but how much cheaper and is that going to make up for the lost royalties? I don't think that's clear.
Right. No, and I don't think they would know either because they've never had lower priced Audible audiobooks. And so I'm not sure they know even what that would look like. I do think that Amazon should consider giving price control to authors. Maybe it's a tight window. Maybe you get a higher percentage at a certain amount, just like ebooks. But pricing strategies way back in 2010, 2011, allowed indie authors to crack the market. And that is something authors have never had the opportunity to do on Audible. Through Findaway Voices and other newer retailers and distributors, they have had price control. And while I don't have like the numbers in front of me of how much that has affected indie sales, it at least gives them a chance. And I think that a lot of authors starting on Audible today wouldn't feel like they have a chance.
Yeah, and this does strike me as a direct result of Spotify entering the market and allowing authors to price whatever they want, because it's like, okay, fine, Audible's not going to let me, ACX is not going to let me price what I want. I'll go somewhere that does, that also has a huge reach. And I think that ACX is trying to compete without giving up control. They're trying to compete with the prices, but they're not willing to let authors set their own prices. And it's like kind of the worst of both worlds because of that.
Yeah. Well, to that point, to move into our hot potatoes of wisdom section, which we are always on the look for, according to AI, how do you think, Claire, how does the news of lower prices and potentially lower royalties through ACX, how does it change your audiobook strategy?
I don't see that the change in ACX's policies with pricing are changing anything about my strategy. I have all of my audiobooks that are available on Audible, but they're also available everywhere else. It's never even been a thought in my mind to go exclusive on Audible. Their terms are absurd. I will be non-exclusive. I will get my 25%, which for whatever reason that I still can't fathom, comes out to 13% royalties on every sale. And I'll just deal with that. And I get a lot of people buying my book through Apple, through Chirp, my audiobook, that is. So this changes nothing in my strategy. It's just kind of annoying, but it's also very predictable.
Right.
So, Brian, will the possibility of worse royalties through ACX trigger more authors to go wide in audio, do you think?
I absolutely think that if Audible makes changes like this that scare authors, let's say even that authors do end up making more royalties through this change. Prices go down, authors make more royalties. Even if that happens, this has scared authors, and the talk around it on social media has mostly been negative. So even if this did help authors, more authors are going to hear about the negative aspects of this, and that is going to lead to them going wide in audio. Also the fact that there are more options than there were years ago with Findaway Voices, with other distributors. The ability to go wide and have more control, which is what authors got used to on the KDP platform. So Amazon kind of, made their own bed on this one. Authors are used to that control, and other platforms that grant that control are now going to be very appealing for authors. So I think, Claire, do you hear that sound? The lightning round is upon us, Claire.
No one could have guessed.
No one could have guessed. Claire, according to the new publishing standard, the publishing industry needs to report indie book sales better. Why do you think the traditional publishing business and media are pretending that the indie ebook market essentially doesn't exist?
Well, there's sort of a hubris in it, I think, that has turned into denial.
Mm-hmm. Remember to include the question.
At first, it was... Yes. True. Okay. So I think that traditional publishing is pretending and the media is pretending that indie book publishing doesn't really exist because there was this idea of this in club and this out club, right? And traditional publishing really needs to protect the in club. So I think at first they thought that the in club was so strong that nothing could threaten it. And then we're seeing more frequently, especially with the whole DOJ thing, that traditional publishing actually sees indie publishing as a huge financial threat. They are worried that their authors will go independent. So now it's almost like that the superiority complex is being exposed as an inferiority complex, which happens, you know, inevitably.
Yeah.
But I think it's to traditional publishing's detriment. I think that if they looked at what indies were doing and took on more of that, they would have less of a threat. So, you know, they're gonna do what they're gonna do, and we're gonna do what we're gonna do, and we'll see who is still around.
Right. Yeah, I love that. I think you're absolutely right. The superiority complex being revealed. It's an inferiority complex all along. And I think that absolutely tracks with some of the reports that we see on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm. So, Brian, can an author sell enough books without using ads in 2023?
Absolutely. So an author can absolutely sell enough books to prosper without using ads in 2023, but they're going to have to do it in specific ways. I think that authors who build up a following, they have done this through various social media platforms. They have done this through doing in-person events. They have done this through Kickstarter campaigns and the like. Now, those all of those things require certain skill sets. You need to be a really good launcher to do Kickstarter. You need to be really personable to do events. You need to be a good editor of videos in order to do TikTok. If you don't have those skill sets, but you do have the skill sets that are connected up with ads, then maybe ads are the right path. But you have to think about, what am I strong at? What do I like to do? And then you have to base your marketing off of that. So...
that's a great answer, Brian.
Thank you. You've influenced me. You and Becca Syme and all you individualization people have totally infected my brain like the cordyceps in The Last of Us.
So, great. That's what I love to be called.
Yeah, you're just like a cordyceps.
The industry cordyceps. I'll take it.
The fungus that makes the industry live on.
Hey, at least I'm fun.
Yeah, fungus. So, Claire, do you think writing in a series is necessary for success?
I don't know that writing in a series is necessary for success, but I think it increases the probability of getting, you know, where you want to go financially. It makes everything a lot easier. It makes running ads easier and profiting off ads easier. But that also presumes that your definition of success is monetarily based. So you could have other ideas of success. In a lot of ways, just completing a book is success. You know, you can celebrate smaller things. But I think that if you want to, there's no, if you do X, you'll get Y in this industry. There is no correlation like that. If you do this, you're guaranteed to do this. Yeah. But what we can do as authors is decide where we want to be eventually and start stacking things on that have high probabilities of getting us there. Nothing has 100% probability, but writing in a series has a higher probability of getting you to a place where you can sell a lot of books really easily. It has a higher probability than if you're doing standalones. Now, that's not to say that you can never have financial success doing standalones. Lots of people do. But if we are just adding those probabilities together to get us to where we want to go, writing in a series is really, really useful. And a lot of my success reaching my goals is directly attributable to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that too many authors are trying to say, well, I need to go my own way, and but not doing it because you know, not necessarily doing it because they have to fulfill this deeper part of themselves. They're just like kind of being stubborn about it. I think that the probability argument needs to always be considered if the financial success is the direction they want to go in.
Well, certainly. And you can look at things and say, okay, this is a little bit higher probability of getting me that success than this thing does, but this thing aligns a lot more with my values.
Yeah.
Am I willing to take this one over this one? You can make that decision, but we can't pretend that that decision isn't there to be made.
Yeah. Love that. Love that.
Okay, Brian, online summits and conferences have a lot of great information, but how can you attend without being overwhelmed?
How do I phrase this question? So you can attend online conferences and summits, or even in-person conferences and summits, without getting overwhelmed by treating it like a diet and not a buffet. If you go into these thinking, I'm going to have a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, a little bit of column C, it's going to be very easy to be overwhelmed. If you instead say, I'm interested in this subject and things related to this subject, and I'm not even going to engage with the things that are not related, like I know I'm gluten-free, I'm not going to go have the biscuit because that is not going to be good for me. I'm going to be on a gluten-free path this conference to only focus on gluten-free topics. So something specific like email marketing or ads, and then the rest of it, you just chill and take downtime and recharge. And that is how you avoid being overwhelmed.
Yeah, you can't let FOMO turn you into a maniac.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the faux maniacs all around us. Claire, our final question of the lightning round. What marketing did you do that surprised you? Or what marketing have you ever done that has surprised you with its success?
There's a lot of marketing that has surprised me with its failure, and much, much fewer marketing tactics that have surprised me with success. But one that has pretty much always been good is cross-promotion with other authors. And now I use it sparingly. I'm not doing it like some sort of every 2 weeks we do this, we push, like, you know, rotating through the same people over and over again, because everything becomes ineffective if you overuse it. But that is free and it continues to work for me. When I find someone who has a similar audience, I will, you know, we'll do a little switcheroo and it's like, boom, okay, there's 200 copies sold really quickly, you know, of course, the mileage varies depending on how big the list is, how active they are. Sometimes I am surprised by failure in this endeavor because I'm like, oh, this person has a huge list. And it's like, ah, but they haven't necessarily been cultivating it. But yeah, that is still a very successful thing. I know that people are still using that to great effect. And it's a fantastic way to cross-pollinate audiences with other people open up the doors for collaboration and networking.
I love that. Yeah. And I hear you on the list not necessarily being curated. I've definitely had that happen more than a few times. We need a question of the week, Claire. Obviously, we could talk about our top story related to ACX. We could talk about any one of our other questions in the lightning round. What would you like to hear from our audience?
Well, I think that we could speculate on ACX. Why not?
Okay.
I would love to know why people think they're doing this, the real reason.
Okay. So
give me those conspiracy theories.
Why do you think ACX and Audible have slashed prices across the board? Could it end up being beneficial for self-published authors? So I had to throw that optimistic spin in there, Claire. I just had to.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw my eye twitch on that one.
I did. So you can answer the question of the week in the Sell More Book Show After Party Facebook group or on the Sell More Book Show website at sellmorebookshow.com. Claire, I really hope that the rest of Alice Luck is a big success. And I think that if you have a moment to take a breath, please do, because I know these Kickstarter campaigns are tough.
Yeah, well, you don't have to worry about me taking a breath. I still am taking 3-day weekends. It's just it's very hectic during the 4 days a week that I'm working.
Okay. I mean, I'm going to worry about you because you're my bud, and I don't you to be overwhelmed. So.
Yeah, no, I'm resilient. I have woods right across from my house. I can go walk into at any moment. Never okay, come back.
Good. I just hope you come back. Yeah. So awesome. Well, for my side, definitely subscribe to my list because we've always got some good stuff going on. And yeah, I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. For Claire, I'm Brian. Have a great week of book selling, everybody. And we'll be back to you next week for episode 462. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Sell More Book Show. Visit the website at www.sellmorebookshow.com for detailed show notes and subscription information, or to send us news or comments for use on the show. Also, please take a moment to subscribe to the show and leave us a review. Thank you very much for listening, and happy book selling.